Hi, I'm Heather.
Hey, I'm Haley.
And we're the Whodunit Sisters. This episode is going to be on one of Kansas City's oldest missing persons cases, Loy Evitts. If you're listening on the podcast, I recommend you checking out our website or our YouTube channel because we're going to have a map of Loy's lunch break route, and I think you might find that and other photos interesting. Loy was 29 years old, and she had been married to her high school sweetheart for 5 years, and they didn't have any kids. She worked as a secretary for the law firm Miller, Simmons, Moore, and Young, located at 800 West 47th Street at the Country Club Plaza in Kansas City. She had been working there for about 2 months when she went missing on February 28, 1977. And what I want you to know is that when she went missing, the police department, they canvassed all of the plaza shops and they interviewed all the employees. And because of her being an ex-beauty queen nominee, dressed well, and she drove a very distinct bright yellow MGB GT sports car, she was very rememberable. So the police were able to give a good timeline of what she did during her lunch break. Okay, so on February 28th, 1977, Loy was working on a project, and so she took a later lunch break than normal and ended up leaving the office at 2:10 p.m. Loy walked to the parking garage located north of the office building, and she drove her yellow car a few blocks and parks at 47th and Warnell. She then walks to help...
Before we get into that, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You said... She worked at a law firm, right?
Yes.
What did she do at the law firm?
Secretary.
Did they mention, like, the project? The project was
no, working? But I can tell you this. After she disappeared and the police were looking to see what she worked on, They know that she had started typing out a letter. And then one of the kids of one of the other secretaries started playing on the typewriter, And it went over. Remember, you know, the olden time typewriters, they had ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
So it was typed over, so they were never able to quite tell what she was working on. She walked to Hellsburg Jewelry Store, and she gets her watch adjusted. She then walks back to the area where she parked, and she goes into Rothschild's department store, where she's seen browsing. She then goes to Macy's and goes to the lower level, and she asks an employee about a plant. She then returns to her car and drives to Skaggs Drugstore, which was located on the corner of Westport Road and Main Street, about a mile away. There at Skaggs, she gets a coffee and she buys an umbrella because it's supposed to rain that week. Then she gets back in her car and she returns to the parking garage. Police believe she returned to the parking garage around 3 p.m., and she parked in her usual spot, which was number 98 on the fourth level, and she's never seen again. The other secretaries, they started becoming a little bit concerned when she didn't return to the office around 4:30, But at 5 o'clock, that's when one of the law partners decides to call her house. So according to her husband, Don said he was just getting off work and was returning to his house when the phone was ringing.
And what did he do for work?
He worked as an auditor for an insurance company, which was actually located on Main Street, the same street as Skaggs Drugstore, just like less than 4 miles away.
Okay. And what time was she at Skaggs, did you say?
I can't give you an exact idea. She left at 2:10, so returned... Probably 2:45,
okay.
Maybe 2:40.
Okay.
He didn't know where she was. He started calling her friends. None of her friends knew where she was. At 6 o'clock, he calls the police. And the police tell him he has to wait 24 hours before He can file a missing persons report. And then Don finds out that one of Loy's friends went to a movie at the plaza. So he goes down to the plaza and he finds out the friend wasn't with Loy. And so then he says that he stayed around the plaza area until midnight walking around looking for her. The next day the police show up at the parking garage and they don't notice anything suspicious with her car or around the car. Her car is unlocked and inside they find the umbrella with the price tag still on it, a donut bag, a rag into flour. They process the car, and there's no fingerprints, inside or outside. So those are the things that were inside her car. The police began interviewing. No one heard a scream in the parking garage. And they did find two witnesses who said that they saw two separate vehicles driving really fast out of the parking garage around the time that she would have been returning. The police were able to find one of the drivers, and they questioned him, and he was released. But the police never found the driver of a brown van who was described as holding up a hand to hide his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he drove out so fast that he almost got into a wreck.
What time was that?
Around the time that she would have been returning.
Hmm. See, but no one saw her, obviously, bringing the car back. No one saw who brought the car back.
No one saw who brought the car back. They just know a secretary also had a late lunch break that day.
Mm-hmm.
She left the law office. She left the law office at 2:30, mm-hmm. and at 2:30, when she went to the parking garage, Lori's car was gone, and Lori left the office at 2:10. So at 2:30, when the other secretary went to the garage, Lori's car was gone. When that secretary returned after lunch, Lori's car was there, but Lori was not in the office. But they probably just assumed, you know, who knows what they were thinking. Like, maybe she was window shopping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But by 4 o'clock, 4:30, they're like, okay, where's Lori? You know.
So she did all her errands that she could walk to, and then she used her car for Skaggs, and then supposedly came back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wonder if she could have, like, walked somewhere else real quick, or...
And she could have. She might have.
If she's really known to be walking. But...
Well, she was known to drive. I mean, she still drove to Hellsburg. She still mm-hmm. drove her car two blocks, and then walked all around that little area.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
I misunderstood.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. So she drove two blocks, parked the car at like 47th and Warnell, and
mm-hmm.
then walked to Hellsburg's, walked back to Rothschild's, walked to Macy's, then went back to her car, and then drove to Skaggs, which was like, it's like a mile away, but it's in Westport.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I gotcha.
No, it's all good. Okay. On March 10th at around 6:30 p.m., some kids who are looking for their missing dog found a purse under a bridge at Reinhardt Road and 82nd Street in Kansas City, Missouri. They dump the contents of the purse out on the ground, and then they take the purse home, and they start playing with it. And then when the dad comes into the bedroom, he notices that there's credit cards in the purse, and so he calls the police. So the police come, and the credit cards are Lori's, and it's Lori's purse. And they notice that the purse is damp on one side and undamaged, so they know they believe it's from laying on an embankment under the bridge.
Do you know how far this is from where the plaza?
No, I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Maybe, if I had to make a guess, I'd say maybe 15 miles, but we can add a little thing up on the screen. I don't remember. Sorry. And when they went to the area where the purse was found, they found Lori's checkbook, sunglasses, eyeglasses, prescription drugs, her Kansas driver's license, and an open package of thin cigars that Lori was known to smoke. Based on the contents of her purse, police do not believe that Lori left of her own volition. They believe she was abducted. And for days, they searched that whole area from where her purse was found, but they didn't find anything else. Now, 10 days later, on March 20th, a 34-year-old Grandview, Missouri man named Richard Lee Smith was brought in for questioning. He allegedly made anonymous phone calls to the Lee Summit police and businesses in Lee Summit, claiming that he killed Lori and buried her under new construction on I-470 and View High Drive, which was about 5 miles south of where Lori's purse was found. Now, when they brought the man in for questioning, he denied making those phone calls and he denied killing her. His house was searched, but they never found anything incriminating or any type of link to Lori. So he was released and charges were never filed against him in Lori's disappearance. Based on his phone calls, a quarter mile stretch of the I-470 was searched using methane detectors and infrared cameras, but nothing was found. And
but they looked.
And they looked. Okay. They looked, and they actually looked again a month later with even better equipment, and nothing was ever found.
I'm sure they searched around with the purse was, too, you would think.
Yeah, and they searched there for days. Yeah. Huh. Nothing was ever found where the purse was found. Nothing was ever found where this guy
chucked it out the road. I mean,
Actually, they did say they thought it was dropped.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But, yes.
And obviously, she wasn't being robbed for anything.
No, because
everything was in her purse.
Credit cards, checkbook. Yes. Right. Do you want to go check out the garage?
Yeah. I mean, a quick question. Would she make it into it later? I'm not quite sure.
That's okay.
Their marriage, was it?
Police completely investigated both of them all the way back to their childhoods in Coffeyville, Kansas. They found no evidence of affairs, no financial difficulties, nothing. The husband was completely cleared. In fact, they've said that they don't believe the husband is a suspect.
Okay.
So we're back from going to the parking garage and the site of where Lori's purse was found. And I would say in the parking garage, it would have been somewhat hard to hear.
Because depending on how, I mean, there's still so many different
variables.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Unknowns.
I mean, during the weekday, that time, it would have been really busy. The roads would have been busy. So, plus the level she was at, there was no window on her side. So, it just seems like that they probably didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I mean, maybe she didn't put up a struggle. Maybe it's someone she knew. So, it's right.
I completely agree with all of that. That's the parking garage. It's very hard to say, but going out to where her purse was very secluded. I mean, and it was
just like a little, I don't know, a little bend in the road that,
right.
I did not know it was there. Not that I'm from Independence area, but
you had to know where you were going. That's not just like just driving aimlessly around. No. Yeah. But it is interesting that it is straight. I mean, it's really easy to get to if you're just coming right out of the plaza. I mean, it's all one way, and then you get out there. Yeah. No, that was. I'm glad that we went out there. Mm-hmm. I had it. I had no idea it was going to be like that. So. So after reading articles on Lori's disappearance, a few things stood out, and one are the lack of fingerprints. They didn't find fingerprints in her car or on her car. And so when they were looking to have comparisons for her, they couldn't find any fingerprints of Lori's at her desk. And come to find out, she was meticulous with her makeup cases where she would always wipe them off after each use. So they weren't able to get any fingerprints at her desk. But I can't help but wonder why they didn't try her house, you know, where her mirror, her dresser drawers or knobs. You would think there would have been fingerprints of hers in her house, in her kitchen. So right. I just thought that was odd. Don, her husband said that 3 weeks after her disappearance, he underwent a 3-hour polygraph test.
3 hours?
3 hours. And to me, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
And when I think of someone having to take a polygraph that long, it makes me wonder if there was no alibi. And I'm just saying.
Questioning more than just the average.
Yes.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm. Also, Don originally tried to settle her state 9 months after she disappeared, and it was denied. Well, he had her declared legally dead after 7 years. He then sued the insurance company for accidental and violent death benefits, plus interest backdated to the day she went missing, plus punitive damages. And the policy was to be doubled if she died by violence or an accident.
Which I find odd also because, what did you say he did?
He was an insurance auditor.
So he would probably know the ins and outs, probably.
Of the insurance and maybe not punitive damages. That just... When it comes to the investigation, there are incidences which seem random, but when you put them together, they just seem all odd. which is, she was working on that project, which made her take a late lunch break.
Mm-hmm. See, I wish that we could ask questions to the office people. And I know, like you said, that you have left messages to the Kansas City
the sergeant. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm curious, there's nothing saying anything about the people she works with. I mean, like I said, the project she's working on, is it normal for her to be late on her late leaving? I mean, mm-hmm. maybe it was just that one day, and if it's that one day she left late, that's odd.
It is.
I mean, there's so many right. questions I have about work. I just wish that
we wish you could know. Well, and it's with the work that there's a lot of the odd incidences. But you know,
okay, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But like taking a late lunch break. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that this project couldn't be verified because when the police went to go check the typewriter ribbon, it had been written typed over. So there's no way to see what letter she was writing or what she was working on.
And then have questions. Well, did they verify it was really the children playing with the typewriter?
With the typewriter?
Or just some
sabotage?
Well, right?
And the lack of fingerprints at her desk. The fact that she went missing from the parking garage of her business.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of work oddities, too, besides just, you know, things. And then I just have some quotes. Quote, I warned her about being careful while shopping. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe if I was shopping
at night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like that one.
Street vendors in the middle of the night. I don't know.
No, yeah. She had a premonition a week before she disappeared. She said she was going to die and told me what cemetery she wanted to be buried in.
Was it on 87th and Reinhardt? Sorry.
Yes. No, you're right. That was the one.
How convenient.
It's just odd. He thought of holding a memorial service for Lori 6 months after she disappeared, but thought it was premature. But in that same article was talking about how he's been dating and has started, but he felt guilty at first.
Maybe the memorial service, because, I mean, it brings awareness to bring her name up. But first of all, I wouldn't tell anyone I'm dating. And I don't think I'd be dating. Unless he's already seeing somebody.
The police said that nobody was having an affair. But, I mean, that's why they're secret. I don't know. There are countless articles where Lori is described as precise, meticulous, neat, conscientious. She didn't leave messes. She didn't leave anything out of place. So, the things that bother me that seem out of place are the things that are in her car, which was her baby. She described, I mean, her car is described as her baby. The donut bag. I think if that were trash, she would have thrown it away. I don't know why she would have a donut bag in her car. The donut bag bothers me. And the flower. The flower.
It doesn't say anywhere where the flower came from.
It was given to her husband. Her husband gave it to her recently. But, okay, so...
Wait, what month are we in?
February 20... She disappeared February 28th.
How old did... Was it a rose?
It was a carnation. It was a carnation. If he gave it to her before work, I would think that she would have taken it inside her... She would have taken it inside her work and put it in water. I don't know why she would leave a flower in her car.
Plus, it wouldn't... I mean, you'd be able to tell what condition it's in and how long it's been in the car, which, obviously, they probably don't mention that either.
It just said he had given it to her recently. And so, I can't help but think recent, like, lunch break recent? Like, I meet you in the parking garage recent? Or put in the car at midnight recent?
Unless she got the carnation from one of the stores who might have been handing out.
And he said he gave it to her. That carnation was from him.
But you're right. She wouldn't have left it in there. So for her to be that meticulous, I know how I am. I don't leave junk in my car.
No.
I would have taken it. Unless... So it had to have been given to her that day.
Yes.
Not just recent that day.
Right.
and that bag that day. So,
lunch break.
She was about to grab all that stuff
and take it with her inside. Yes.
Right, but that carnation still had to be given to her either by someone that she went to lunch with or ran into, or maybe, like I said.
I just wanted to leave the, there was a quote from the lead investigator who said this, quote, "She was a person of many different faces. Everybody talked about her in a different way. One is a married woman, one is an independent woman, one is an enterprising woman." And when I read that, I just couldn't help but wonder if Lori's life was possibly sending her in a different direction, on a different path, an independent path, and somebody wasn't happy with that. So, the whodunit theories. Who do you think done it?
I'm torn between, I don't know, a stranger and someone real close to her. Like, close to her. Like, right. I do close to her.
Right. No, I get it.
Stranger for, all of a sudden then I'll lean towards the other person because right. of the...
Because of the stupid-ass things he says.
Yeah.
He has stupid-ass quotes.
And done.
Right?
And dating early and claiming it. And
I know.
That's weird.
I agree. When I first came across this case while volunteering with Doe Network, I always thought a stranger abduction. I thought maybe it was someone who saw her at the drugstore, followed her, and nabbed her.
And the only reason why I also think that, then, is because of that weird place that they found the purse.
Right. That's completely way off.
Off the beaten path.
And if it's someone who was like a delivery driver, you know, maybe he lived over there and he happened to see her and he took over into his neck of the woods and literally because they were woody. But
yeah, it's just...
That's right.
And it's such a big area of... field.
There's so many areas that could be. I mean, they searched and searched, but there's a lot of everything. Searching. But after reading the articles for this show, in my opinion, I think it could have been someone close to her, you know, very
right.
close.
Right.
But then once we went out there today and saw where the purse was found, it made me think again, going back. So I'm the same way. But I will say, if we go with stranger abduction, March 14th, 1978, a young 20-year-old Rosie Schlicker went missing less than 4 miles from where Lori was. Blonde, you know, could meet the same
criteria.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no information on Rosie. There's none. I mean, no stories.
I tried to look her up just now, a little bit before, and then
right.
just said that she was missing from last seen at
the Truman Medical Center,
right.
So, and yeah.
She has a Harley Davidson tattoo on her butt and her in earrings.
Right, no, she. There's no articles on her. No articles, there's no nothing on her, which is great because we're bringing her up and we can talk about the fact that there's someone named Rosie Schlicker who's missing. Unfortunately,
a year later
though. And that is a bit of a coincidence. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's something that shouldn't be ignored.
Another pretty girl.
Another pretty woman. And what's also weird is that a unidentified female body was discovered April 6th, 1979, less than 5 miles from the parking garage. Unidentified female was discovered May 16th, 1981, just north of Noland Road, and that unidentified body was actually compared to Lois. And another unidentified body was discovered August 14th, 1983. That body, they believe, had been, the date of death was a year prior, and that was near the Missouri River. So there would be 1, 2, 3, 4 other cases.
So did they identify any of those people?
No, they're all unidentified bodies, and they're all listed on Doe.
I wonder if they matched it with, or try to match it with, like, Rosie.
don't know if there's any comparisons. I didn't look at that. I was just looking at...
Rosie does have a tattoo.
Where Rosie does have a tattoo.
Yeah.
If you have a comment or a theory, please let us know. You can drop us an email at whodunitsisters@gmail.com, or you can leave it in the comment section. There's a link to DOE on our website. If you have a potential match for Loy or any case, please submit it to DOE's potential match panel. Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe to our channel. Haley, what's our next episode going to be on?
I am hopefully going to do Alexis Accord, who she was murdered in Grandview, I think in 2020. You'll get more information, and hopefully we'll get to speak with her mother soon. Oh, you can also go to, I just recently changed the name from We Are His Voice to We Are Their Voice. So
I didn't include that.
Yeah, so I can include everybody.
I love it.
But Donnie's the number one background picture, and of course he'll still be there because he's my first.
I understand. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.